Now it's 8:30. We present Saturday Night Theatre.
Hungarian security forces, helped by Soviet troops, against what the radio called counter-revolutionaries. With indefinite delays in telephone calls to Hungary, Budapest radio has been the only source of news for most of the day. Last night, several thousand youths marched through the streets.
The Sleeper and the Swallow by John Ashe, with Sandor Ellis as Joseph and Elizabeth Bell as Maria.
Moti?
Hmm?
Moti.
Laszlo Kőszegi was here yesterday.
Yes.
Thought I recognized a car in the lane. We passed.
Oh?
What am I to do with you, you lecherous woman?
Joseph, silly.
25 years of respectable married life, and there you are, still entertaining your boyfriend.
Don't you ever get tired of that joke?
Joke? You're a devilish handsome wench for your age.
Oh, shut up.
Anyway, it will be 25 years next March. Do you realize it? Silver?
Yes.
So it isn't a joke. When I realized I was going to marry you, actually marry you, I said to myself, well, by God, if looks are anything to go by, you could do a lot worse.
Thank you.
And after all, when one is 19, one is fairly choosy.
The young lady killer. I thought you were too busy saving the world.
Revolution and sex go very well together. Well, you should know that.
Please.
Okay, Maria, I'm sorry.
Well, do you want some more tea or don't you?
Thanks.
Anyway, you know perfectly well that Laszlo is a very old friend.
Yes.
Since school.
Yes.
A very good friend. To both of us, Joseph. As you'll find out.
Oh?
Soon enough.
Morning.
Hi.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Enough, you're disturbing the oscilloscope.
I'd like to oscillate you.
So why not shut the door? That titanium sample they sent yesterday is impure.
But how much?
2% at least. Have a look at the spectrum over there.
It's rubbish. I can't work like that. Damn it, we made no progress here for 2 months. Don't they think this lab matters at all? I'm treading water. I'm not used to this.
Oh, come on, darling. We've got loads of stuff waiting for the computer.
It's a dead end. I'm fed up. 10 years ago,
you'd have been just as fussy and gone on.
Claire, look at me. What do you see?
My Romeo.
Be serious.
Dr. Joseph Channon. Tall, good-looking, whiz-kid of the Harton establishment. Mine. All mine. Wow.
How old?
25.
44.
Oh, don't let's have all that.
Old and getting older and heavily married.
That doesn't stop you.
Stop me what?
Not that I've noticed. You Hungarian.
That's a funny thing to say. I haven't been there since I was a boy.
What a boy. Those Magyar jeans.
Magyar.
Oof.
So, that's my secret, eh? It's corny. Cool, young English country girl, a gal, seeks dark eyes and hot blood somewhere east of the Danube. Age no bar, because they're always at it. Bring on the gypsy violence.
Absolutely.
I am a certified Englishman. Any bad habits I picked up in this country?
I'm not a bad habit, am I?
Yes. And a beautiful
one. What do you want, Joe?
You and proper research facilities, which right now are probably better in Budapest.
Commie bastard. I could report that.
Go ahead. That's one thing they cannot pin on me. I fought. I had blood on my hands.
And Maria?
Yes, beside me.
I'm sorry it didn't last.
Me and Maria? No, you're not.
Dear Joe.
Dear old Joe.
Don't be silly.
Tired.
You're perfectly happy when you're working hard.
Well, I'm not working hard. I'm being wasted here.
But you've only been here 6 months. Bound to be setbacks. You must have had them before.
Not many, actually.
Why don't you take a sabbatical? Write a paper or two.
That would be very nice.
I'd help you.
That would be very, very nice.
Dr. Challen's laboratory. It's his assistant speaking. 79, yes. Yes, all right, I'll tell him. Someone wants to see you over at the admin block. A Major Webb Austin.
Who's he?
Search me.
Room 79.
What, right away?
Yes.
Well, better not keep the major waiting.
Yes?
Mrs. Channon.
Yes?
My name is Lodge. This is Mr. Barron. May we come in?
I'm sorry, my
husband... It's you we want to see first.
Now, look! Wait!
Just a little chat.
In here.
Thank you. Well, well. Maria Chernik, eh?
Channon.
Ah, yes, yes, Channon. Mm. Shall we sit down?
If you wish.
By the way, there's no one else in the house?
No.
So you won't mind if Mr. Barron checks?
Who are you people? What do you want?
Ah, Dr. Channon. Take a few.
Thank you.
Let's see, we haven't met, have we?
Not that I can remember.
I only wonder because I move about a bit. You were at Oddingley before you came to Harton, weren't you?
That's right.
Lasers and all that.
And all that.
Bloody cold up there. The places the government sticks you boffins. I'd strike.
Oh, yes?
Still rather funny. Magic rays.
Not really magic, if you'd read Einstein. I'd done some of the early work on gallium arsenide. We had some success with that for solid-state lasers and other things, which is why they wanted me.
At Oddingley?
Yes.
From 1976. And then you came here?
Yes.
Why?
Why? Because I was offered a research contract, CO2. As it happens, I haven't got enough equipment of the sort I need, or even the basic coordination necessary. In fact, I'm running on the spot. If you can do something about that, I'll be very grateful.
Well, we shall have to see.
Good.
You've had a word with Professor MacDonald?
Not yet.
I assure you, it's not exactly my province.
Don't mind me asking, Hubert, what is your province?
Oh, security.
And that's why you've got my file.
Well, our file. You came to this country in 1956 after the Hungarian Rising.
Yes.
Via an Austrian transit camp.
Yes.
And as one of the freedom fighters, you had no inclination to go back.
Not exactly. I killed an AVO, for one thing.
AVO?
State Secret Police.
Ah, yes. And you brought your wife with you?
Yes.
You must have been married very young.
She was 19.
And you were 20?
Yes.
And already something of a scientist?
I suppose so.
Well, you were snapped up by London University quick enough.
They were interested in me.
Oh, come, more than that, surely. In 2 years, you were leading a research team into...
Raman generation effects.
Don't blind me. I'd very much like to meet Mrs. Channon. I was wondering if...
Now, hang on, Major. You've been asking me a lot of questions, and you've got a file on me an inch thick. I've had a lot of security checks over the years, rough and smooth. I recognize this one as one of the smooth ones. Now you want to vet my wife. What's all this in aid of?
Dr. Channon, have you heard of the Omicron Project?
A very clever man, your husband.
Yes.
A good career, good salary, nice house in the country.
We are quite happy.
So, no problems, huh? Anyway, you'll keep me up the mark, won't you?
I don't understand. What is this other work you talk about?
Oh, come on, dear. Don't be stupid.
Mr. Lodge, I think you'd better go now.
Mr. Bannon and I were wondering... Your old man know what you did before he married you?
What I did?
What you were.
Get out, both of you. Get out of my house.
We'd like to see your husband. Let's make an appointment, shall we?
Yes, the Omicron Project is based here. In fact... That's what the Harton establishment is all in aid of. The work is being done in Block 8.
Block 8? I see. And the other blocks? My laboratory just sideshows.
You could say.
A front.
Sort of.
So that's why I've been kept hanging around, messing about with totally inadequate resources.
And they just wanted to get to know you.
But not too close until you'd had a go at me.
You must admit your background is unusual.
But I've been in this country for 23 years. A naturalized UK citizen for most of that.
Oh, there's no question about your professional integrity. Or brilliance, come to that.
Just my patriotism.
Ideology.
All right, I don't blame you.
You know the form.
Oh, I know the form. Now, let me guess. Omicron is a top secret project, and this establishment is founded by the Ministry of Defense.
Dr. Channon.
I wonder... I've seen O'Brien here from Cambridge and Brohill from Glasgow and Strauss from MIT, particle physicists. What are they up to?
Well, I'm sure you won't ask me to give you a rundown. I'm just a...
A cop.
Dr. Channon, as you surmise, you've been looked over very carefully for a number of years by our people.
Defense Intelligence.
And I wouldn't even mention the name Omicron if I weren't pretty sure that you were...
A loyal subject to the Queen.
But your name was Chernik. Why did you change it?
Convenience, really. Channon is more English.
And more pronounceable.
Major Webb Austin, I'm very, very fond of England.
Fishing, golf, bridge. You have no children?
No.
Your marriage, you're perfectly happy.
Yes, of course.
Sorry to mention it. You know these things count.
Oh, yes, yes. You want a perfect specimen.
If possible. Do you travel much?
In England, yes. My wife and I sometimes go to Brittany, and I to Norway.
Alone?
To fish.
Of course. Your father's dead, isn't he? Where's your mother living now?
In Dunafeldvar on the Danube.
Yes. They want you on Omicron, Dr. Channon. They want you very much indeed. I can't tell you any more about it, of course, but they'd like to talk to you.
All right.
There are several friends of yours there.
Yes, and George Cotton's in blockade, isn't he?
Oh, yes.
Cagey devil.
Well, they couldn't say anything about it.
Until I'd been checked out.
I have a fairly good reputation.
And in London, well, have I been checked out?
Top grade, as a matter of fact.
Well, that's a relief.
You could keep your assistant, of course.
Claire?
Yes, Miss Graham.
I'll speak to her.
Well, when you've decided. I'll take you over to Block 8 this afternoon, if you like. Shall we say 2:30?
All right.
And how about dinner this evening? Bring your wife. No ulterior motive, you see.
Well, thank you very much.
There's a house we use here. Very good cook.
And no microphone?
Dr. Channon.
Let's go to the Bear for lunch, okay?
Okay.
I can't tell you any more until this evening when I've talked to that bunch over there. Have you heard anything about Omicron?
No. No.
Well, at least they're not worried about you. Clean-cut English lady, Jodhpur's Rodin B.S.C. Summa.
Handles her drink and fornication. Ripping.
Ripping little English rose.
By the way, your wife telephoned.
Oh, what about?
She didn't say.
Well, I've got to call her later anyway. We're dining out.
Oh.
With the Major.
Webbleston.
Mm-hmm. My sponsor for Block 8. Confirming the security of my domestic bliss.
What would he say if he knew about us?
I think Channon will join the team.
There must be no question about it.
He's got a brilliant reputation. They certainly want him.
He must want.
I'm sure it will be all right. He is professionally ambitious and he's been frustrated lately. Secondly, he has friends already working on Omicron. Thirdly, he is deeply involved with the girl.
We are sure of that.
And she belongs here. From his point of view, the girl and Omicron go together.
He could get tired of her.
Not for a while. They use her flat in the staff building. Let me show you. We got these shots of them.
Slut.
I thought we might be able to use these photographs one day.
Small stuff, silly. Does the wife know?
I doubt it. I'm seeing her this evening, by the way.
It might be better if she did know about the girl. It might strengthen the pressure. Give the wife an edge.
Then there's the mother, of course.
Quite another question.
Is she still in... where is it?
Dunafeldvar. No, in Budapest, under very close surveillance.
He's in between the pincers, all right.
His wife had visitors this morning.
Oh?
Lodge.
Lodge?
And another agent.
They were softening her up.
Yes. Him next.
20-odd years of peace and quiet. It's all going to hit him at once. I almost feel sorry for him.
If anything goes wrong, feel sorry for yourself.
I don't believe it, George.
It's true. It can be done. We got the first results last September.
Well, I'm not into space technology, but can't you just send something up to chase them?
Think of all the time and energy for each launch. A micron can do it from here. Track them and smash them.
How much power are we talking about?
Just 15 megawatts.
It seems incredible.
Well, let's hope we can keep it incredible. If the other side get onto it, all we've done is accelerate the space war.
Isn't this supposed to be some kind of outer space treaty?
Listen, most of that hardware up there is military. Yeah. A lot of those satellites can guide nuclear missiles. We don't need to knock them out yet. It's nice to know we can in a hurry, isn't it?
I suppose so.
Some people have been trying this for years, but we think we've done it. Anyway, everything's looking good.
Looking good? Where have you been, Houston?
There's some excited people over there.
Why, hello, George.
Joseph, you know Dr. Strauss?
We've never met.
No, we have not. And I want to say it's a very, very great pleasure. You know, George, we've tried to get Dr. Channon to come visit us many, many times. Now you've got him for Omicron, I guess we'll just have to be patient. But, Joseph, I just want you to know that we look forward to it. You've sent us some very, very interesting material.
Yes, yes, it's quite something.
Do you want us to work over there?
Huh? Let me think. Hello, Maria.
Joseph.
Hmm?
Two men were here.
What sort of men? What did they want?
I can't tell you over the telephone.
Well, listen, I'm coming home now anyway because we've got to go out tonight.
Hello?
Yes, okay? Bye.
Huh. Anything the matter?
No, no, no. Look, darling, I may not be able to see you this weekend. I've got to discuss this job with Maria, and there's all the question of the house and everything.
Oh, Joe, you're running out on me.
Don't be silly.
I was only joking.
See you on Monday, huh?
Okay.
Maria, it's not a coincidence. Those men who came to see you, who broke in here, they knew what was happening to me today.
They were horrible.
Quite like old times. I suppose we shouldn't complain.
What are you going to do?
See them? What else can I do?
Tomorrow morning, 11, they want you to drive over to Pegley, park by the church, then walk up the lane towards Bindon Wood.
All right.
You will go.
I just wish they had left you alone. Well, no, we were in this together. Always have been, haven't we? And they wanted to make sure you were suitably pressed with the full weight of the great secret service which could burst in here when they felt like it and manipulate your husband. Yes, quite like old times.
Joseph, we can manage together.
Did they frighten you, little wife? Did they make you promise to be good, to make me be good too?
I think that is what they wanted. But listen, Joseph, it has been a long time since I worked for them. A long time with you.
Don't say any more. We never made any promises to each other, did we? And now the time has come and we must stay free, Maria. Do you understand? So that they cannot use one of us against the other.
I am your wife. It would be very hard for me to betray you.
Martin 239.
Joseph.
Speaking.
Paul
Bulow. Paul, how are you?
Found out why you were sent to Martin. Joseph, don't have anything to do with Omicron. Don't get involved.
Well, what are you talking about? Where are you?
I'm getting out. I'm going to Canada, Joseph. If you work for Omicron, when you're finished, they'll kill you.
What? Paul! He's rung off. Oh. Paul Bulow, do you remember that odd English?
Yes.
He's crazy. How does he know this line isn't tapped? And how the hell does he know about Omicron?
What's that?
Seems to be a killer, all right.
Ah, Dr. Channon, nice to see you.
Dear, this is Major Webb Austin, my wife.
Mrs. Channon, I'm very pleased to meet you.
How do you do?
You know, of course, Dr. Cotton and Mrs. Cotton.
Hello, George.
Gee, hello. Lovely to see you.
I don't come down here very often, Mrs. Channon. Usually they're all talking shop. They're more comprehensible in the evening.
Of course. I've had two large whiskies, and I'm very comprehensible.
What do you do yourself, Major Webb Austin?
Oh, just a sort of general liaison work.
Don't you believe it, Maria? He's like all these army chaps fighting the next war, looking for nasty things to blow people up or shoot them down or send them around the bend.
You don't look at all like that.
Thank you, Mrs. Chairman. Now, what can I get you to drink?
Who wants to dominate Europe? The Russians, Chinese, the Albanians? I mean, it's perfectly absurd.
But only because in Western Europe we've become used to the idea of unlimited freedom. We'd be very difficult to hold down.
Yeah. Unlimited freedom. Any more of that and we'll be so soft it'll be only too easy to hold down.
Oh, you know, the old generals and our marshals any day. Build up our defences, keep our guard up, be strong, be vigilant. It's all a vested interest and a waste of resources. We're getting into the 80s. One's got more to worry about. Oil, third world starvation, destruction of animal species, kids on junk. Mm.
Surely, before you can start solving other countries' problems, you've got to get your own organized. You need order and discipline. And you've got to be secure. Unfortunately, that means some very expensive hardware.
Always the arms race. secrecy and this trust.
Well, armaments imply secrets.
So does disarmament when you look at it. You intelligence chaps will always be a business.
Wasn't it Khrushchev who said we ought to pool all our intelligence and save a lot of money?
One of the most sensible suggestions I've ever heard.
Yeah. Pity it didn't last. Well, let's go and have some coffee next door.
Not an attractive man.
The Major? Well, somebody said they'd rather be ruled by Colonel Blimps than commissars. Still, if he's all the opposition can muster, it should be a pushover.
I was thinking all through dinner last night. Everything's so normal. Boring, really.
George making silly jokes.
Dinner parties, bridge, shopping, seeing you off to work, seeing you home again. And now, today, everything changes.
We'll have to see what Mr. Lodge has to say.
But you know, don't you?
One thing, Maria. They're not going to involve you, are they?
You will do what they say. You have to.
The body of a man who fell from the London to Liverpool Intercity Express last night has been identified as that of Dr. Paul Bulow.
Listen.
A scientist working at the government research station at Oregon.
Good God.
Dr. Bulow's wife is on a visit to Montreal, where she heard the news early this morning. A government white paper published today.
Paul. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Channon. My name is Lodge. This is Mr. Barron.
How do you do?
Shall we go into the wood? It's nice and quiet. Yeah. Wonderful day.
Yes.
Mr. Barron and I have been appointed to look after you during the next phase of your operation.
The next phase? 23 years was a long one.
Well, of course, there are changes of policy towards you.
So I gathered in Norway.
The people you saw in Oslo couldn't tell you much, of course. Simply to maintain contact from time to time without alerting any agents here.
Yes.
The authorities are very pleased with you. You've become very important.
I was afraid of that.
I'm serious.
Mr. Lodge, what happened to Paul Bulow?
Bulow? Oh, it's been published.
It was on the radio this morning. He fell from the Liverpool train. I suppose he was sailing to Canada.
How did you know he was going to Canada?
It said his wife was in Montreal.
Ah. Bulow was terminated.
Killed.
Terminated. With extreme prejudice, as we say. He was a friend of yours?
Yes.
Hmm. There might be some questions to ask you about.
I've got a question, too. Why was he murdered?
I didn't handle it. I understand he became unreliable. Now, I have some papers for you to read. I'm not a scientist, of course, so I can't understand them. It's about a project codenamed Omicron.
Oh, yes?
Then I have some instructions for you.
What else did they say?
Nothing. They don't have to. I dance to their tune. It's like blackmail, kidnapping. I wait for messages and pay and pay and pay.
It was always coming.
I'm a scientist. I have a certain pride. Intelligence, they call it. British intelligence. Russian intelligence. American intelligence. All their tricks and their hideous jargon. Slime.
Joseph.
They did kill Paul.
You must be very careful.
Oh, I'll be very careful. After all, I've got you to watch me, haven't I?
To watch you?
Well, I suppose they made perfectly clear to you what your job was. See, I behave myself. Keep them informed about the domestic front.
Joseph, you know I would never...
I know nothing. I don't trust you any more than I trust myself. Come off it, Maria. There was a time when you would do anything for them. Anything.
That's enough.
I'm going for a walk. By the way, I didn't tell you. Paul said that when I'd finished this job, I would be bumped off. I suppose for knowing too much.
So you see, life has become a little awkward.
Joe!
Can I come in?
Of course. You're soaking wet. What have you been doing?
Walking.
In this weather. Now, come on, take off your coat. I'll find somewhere to dry it.
Yes, thanks.
Darling, you're looking perfectly miserable. Now, go on, help yourself to a drink. I'll put this in the kitchen. Come on, sit down. What's the matter?
Everything.
Maria?
Partly.
What's happened?
On Monday, they want me to decide about working on Omicron.
I know, you told me.
Of course, I can pull out later if I want to, but by then it'll be too late. God, it's too late already. I wish I hadn't come to this place. No, no, if I hadn't, I wouldn't have met you. In any case, it was all planned. I'm sure it was. They've got people at Oddingley, and they've got people here. They must have. Otherwise, how did they know I was being asked to work on Omicron?
Joe, what on earth are you talking about? Who are they?
It's easy for you, you see. A beautiful English girl, born and brought up here, slight and slim and frivolous even, but certain and really incredibly strong.
I love you, Joe.
Pretty little English ladies shouldn't fall in love with foreigners.
Darling, you're not foreign. You're as English as Leslie Howard. He was Hungarian, wasn't he?
There you are, you see, frivolous.
Well, okay. What's biting you?
When I have told you, well, it's up to you. If I lose you, then everything will be finished. But I have to know.
Try me.
You know that I came here in 1956 after the Hungarian insurrection.
Yes, with Maria.
You know that the Austrians opened the frontier to refugees.
Yes.
Well, there's a whole flood. A lot of young people, too, who had been fighting in the city. You couldn't blame them for leaving, not after the tanks came in. Everything was so disorganized. The state security people had a hard time. A lot of them were killed. But the senior officers kept their heads. A chance to slip out a few agents after it was very good cover. Who would suspect Keats, who had been fighting in Budapest, running through the streets, throwing bottles at armored cars?
Agents?
Yes. Yes.
How do you know?
Paul Bulow was one of them.
Bulow? The man from Oddingley
who fell from the train.
But if you knew he was a spy, why didn't you...
Because I was one myself.
Oh, I don't believe this. I don't like it at all. It's ridiculous.
You've got to understand how we were brought up. The atmosphere. It's hard to visualize it now. Arrests, trials, executions, informants, denunciations, terror. There was only one way to behave, to be safe, to get an education, a job, a career. I was lucky. I had done well at school, extremely well. I went to the university, and at 19, I had passed my finals and was working with a senior research team even before I had defended my postgraduate thesis. It was wonderful, like a flame. But I paid the price. I had to prove my political credentials, to take the chair at student meetings, to visit the state security offices, to report, to inform. Oh, yes. I used to know that slippery little world quite well. Where human nature is revealed in all its fragrance. It wasn't a question of morals, loyalty, good faith, bad faith, treachery, selling out, just bargains between little rats and big rats. I just wanted to get on with my work. It was the greatest privilege I could think of. In a sense, I owed everything to the regime. And they took everything.
You were very young.
So were the freedom fighters, the boys who faced the tanks, and the girls whose bodies were ripped apart by shell fire. Even if I wanted to join them, I was hopelessly compromised. The authorities could expose me at any time they wanted to. But they gave me a gun. And they gave me Maria. They sent us out to the barricades to establish ourselves as gallant little rebels. So we shouted for Imre Nagy, Molitor, and quoted Kossuth, and left the city defiantly with the national colors round our heads.
As beaten heroes, we made a handsome pair. Oh. They also gave us a marriage certificate backdated.
Why? Why, Maria?
Do you know what a sleeper is?
No.
You take a man and you send him to a foreign country. He arrives there quite naturally as someone who wants to work there, join relatives, anything. And you leave him alone. You let him become totally assimilated, a naturalized citizen, a part of the community. Plenty of friends, trustworthy. Of course, you have to trust him too. Either because he's ideologically sound, or because you have a strong hold on him. Perhaps you pay him, perhaps not. But he's a very good investment, you see, because when you finally decide to use him, he's completely unsuspected and not under any kind of surveillance at all by the other side. For years, he had led a completely normal life, completely normal, and yet fantastic. A sleeper.
You?
It has been a long sleep. Of course, it's desirable to have a wife, otherwise there's a risk of entanglements, but the wife must be reliable, too. Maria was recruited right out of the schoolroom by a good-looking state security cop. Do you know what they did with her then? They used her to blackmail foreign embassy staff. She was very pretty. I won't go into details. There were other girls, of course. They called them swallows.
You were just kidding.
So the sleeper slept with his swallow under an English sky and went to church on Sundays.
Joe, are you telling me that for all these years...
Oh, times have changed, of course. The way they behave over there now, the policies. Often we thought that they wouldn't need us anymore, that they would forget us. If only I had been a doctor or accountant or something, perhaps they would have left us alone. But they knew I had the sort of brain that would be needed in a scientific community, an ambition. The Cold War became a scientific war. And they must have realized that I was becoming more valuable, not less. And in the end, they were right, because now there is this great prize, a weapon which can reach into space.
Omicron.
In theory, an emitter so powerful that it can burn up orbiting traffic. I suppose there are about a dozen people in this country qualified to make it work. Seven of them are here.
And you are one of them?
I saw some men this morning. The sleeper has been woken, and our Major Webb Austin has made the biggest blunder of his life.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
I love you.
You are incredible.
Why?
Aren't you shocked? I'm a traitor, an enemy.
Rubbish. If you were, you wouldn't have told me. Whatever you were when you left your country, you're another person now. You're no more a traitor than I am.
All right. So I go to Webb Austin and tell him?
Yes. Why not?
Maria was an orphan. My father died at 62. But they had my mother. And of course, if they want to tip off the other side, my career is finished. No scientific establishment in the Western world would touch me with a barge pole. Alternately, they can kill me. Or they killed Bulo.
Oh, my God.
Strange one, this has been hanging over your head for so many years, it's almost a relief when...
You told your wife?
No, she told me. They saw her first. I think her role is to watch me, too. Always has been, I suppose.
Joe, were you ever in love with Maria?
I don't know. When we first came to England, I suppose we... I don't want to talk about that.
Darling, I tell you something. You'd make a poor liar.
Thanks. Well, do we move over to Block 8 on Monday?
We've got to.
Claire, darling.
We must play for time.
Your generators?
Yes, we're installing another bank. Jimmy O'Brien wants more juice. Oh, here's the main lab. Keep the side of the red line, Claire. That's the target area.
Don't you fry my assistant.
She could be blinded if someone threw the wrong switch.
Semiconductor lasers, huh?
Yes, babies. Well, let's find you a comfortable office. One each, if you like.
Luxury.
Well, we do ourselves well here, you know.
I think we'd better stay together. She checks my arithmetic.
Well, the lift's round here. Well, Miss Steele.
Lovely.
Okay.
This will be fine.
Intercom there and a lift. Now, give me a buzz when you're settled in. Oh, by the way, Joe, I'm putting you down for cricket on Saturday. We're playing block three, okay?
Oh, no, George, I'm not much use.
Now, you kept wicked at Oddingley, Depp, tonight.
I'll see.
Now, don't let me down, please. You look as if you could do with some exercise.
Do I?
Quite definitely. Yes, very white about the gills. See you.
You look okay, considering.
Come over here.
What is it?
It's a lovely view. Gosh, this is a change. Don't talk about anything in here, understand?
Yes. Well, I presume I take the smaller desk.
It's very elegant. What on earth do we need an office for?
Status.
Yes, I suppose there's money to burn, blue carpet, a piece of World War III, and a spot of cricket. Well, since we've got the desk space, we may as well collate some of last week's stuff on the guest sandwiches. I told George you and I would want a few days to ourselves. Then we went.
Yes, they're in 42. It was a pretty safe bet they'd stay together.
I'm inclined to think you're right about the Graham girl. It could work out well.
There's nothing like a bit of extramarital to keep a chap on the straight and narrow.
You think so?
It makes him more circumspect. Careful.
I'll take your word for it.
Do you want to hear any more from room 42?
I'll leave you that pleasure. I have to catch the London train.
Right.
I'll see you there on Friday to go over your windscale brief.
Good evening, Dr. Channon.
Hello.
Well, now, have anything for me?
No.
Sorry to hear that.
My assistant and I have got a carryover work from the other block. Maybe a week, maybe two.
I thought you said it wasn't important.
No, I didn't. I said we didn't have adequate backup.
But not important to Omar Kron.
How do we know that?
Because it wasn't classified.
You'd never make a physicist, Mr. Lodge. I was working on CO2 laser absorption mechanisms, and my assistant on spectrometric isotopic dilution analyses for rare earth elements. Samples need chemical preparation in ultra-clean labs, and they weren't getting it. Things like that prolonged the work. So we had to divide it and now compare notes. I don't know much about Omicron yet, but in this field nothing is irrelevant, not even geology. I'm a research scientist, not a mechanic.
That's all right. Just maintain contact. You have some papers as soon as you can. Can you come here on Saturday afternoon?
No.
Why not?
I'm playing cricket.
Tuesday evening?
I'll see.
There is a certain amount of pressure, you understand.
That much? You realize it'll be weeks before you get anything valuable? Maybe more?
Just keep it regular. On Tuesday, will you come to the copse above Cheffin Farmhouse? I'll show you a tree there you can use as a dead drop.
A dead what?
Oh, I'm always forgetting. You're out of practice.
I never practiced anything like this before.
No? Well, what I mean is a place to leave documents. If you don't find me and Mr. Barron there, use the dead drop. Okay? Oh, I've been asked to inquire if there's anything you want in the way of expenses.
No, thank you.
Oh, and your mother.
What about my mother?
She's been given a special allowance.
I see. Does she know what it's for?
No, but I'm sure she'll understand.
She certainly will not.
And she's got a new flat.
In Dunafeldvaart?
No, in the city.
Keep a better eye on her there.
You want her looked after?
Is there anything else?
Yes, you said Dr. Paul Bueller was a friend of yours.
Yes.
And I said there might be some questions for you.
Yes.
Well, there are no questions. Just to tell you that the decision to terminate Bueller was taken for good reason. There is regret that this had to be done, and you should put the matter out of your mind.
That may be difficult.
Please.
Goodbye, Mr. Lodge.
Well, I just thought he looked rather strange.
He takes his work very seriously,
George. Yes, but... Well, when he first came here, I thought, what a genial sort of bloke he was, you know, relaxed, casual, almost like...
Like an Englishman?
Yes, I suppose so.
Not intense enough. For a brilliant Hungarian scientist.
Oh, you know.
And now he is.
Is what?
Intense.
Well, you would know.
How do you mean?
Oh, only, well, you've been closer to him as
close as...
George, is this an interrogation?
Why?
I don't know. You're also damn security-minded. Hush, hush. It's like walking on flypapers.
Oh, come on, Clay. You don't really think I'm involved in that, do you?
You're involved in Omicron.
So are you, now?
Well, I'm clear, I think.
Yes, of course you are. So long as you've got that little red and white badge with your name on it, you could go for a day trip with the Polaris.
Omicron, heavens, we can't even mention the name, can we?
Well, not if there's any of our security staff in the same pub. No, seriously, be careful.
Well, I don't want to be dragged in front of the Major.
Oh, he's not here much. He belongs to some rather alarming people in London. Gordon? Alice? Yes, she is. Fine, fine. Well, I'll tell her. Talk of the devil. He's leaving in an hour and he wants to see you before he goes.
The Major? Me?
Now, you have been a good girl, haven't you?
George.
Oh, I hope you don't have to turn in your badge. We'd miss your pretty face.
There's no need to snap at me.
I'm sorry.
Hadn't you better get changed?
Why?
Because the Lucases and the Mortimers are coming for drinks and the Perrys are staying for supper and bridge.
My God, the show must go on. The Perrys are coming for bridge. Can't you put them off?
How?
Tell them I'm not well. I'm having my fingernails extracted.
The Perrys are very nice.
No, the Perrys are very, very nice. It's the Lucases who are only very nice. While the Mortimers, well, they're very, very, very nice.
Oh.
Dear Maria, everywhere we go, you collect these people so calmly. Don't you ever think of inviting some nasty people? They might be fun.
We met some nasty people last week. I didn't invite them, and they certainly weren't fun.
I'll cup the bottle, I. Fill up the glasses.
Haven't you had it? Oh, no, all right.
I'm absolutely all right. It would take an ocean to wash away the maggots.
When I was coming back from seeing Lodge, I drove down a little lane and stopped by a farm gate. I went into the field and walked down the hedgerow. It seemed quite alive with young birds. There was a fence at the end and another field running down to a stream lined by willows which stretched away into the distance. Wooded hills rising on each side, not a soul in sight, and the only sounds were the birds and the wind and the trees. It all came together, the solitude, the protection. I remember thinking, it's a beautiful English valley, but how do I know I'm in England? I mean, what's specially English about grass and sparrows and beech trees? And yet, of course, I knew because you breathe it. And I thought, I only need to follow that stream through the valley to the far blue hills to get away from people like Lodge and Webberston.
And me.
Maria, 25 years of nonsense.
No.
You could have had a better day.
I am not complaining.
And the Perrys are coming for bridge.
Joseph, there was a deal. We may not like it, but there was.
And a long time to think about it.
It seems extraordinary how little we did think about it.
You mean talk?
Not with our friends, anyway.
I'd like to see their reaction. Carol Mortimer, for instance, with her true blue rings. If she only knew, if she only had an inkling.
Just between ourselves.
Just between ourselves, hell of a thing to tie two people together with. A fuse. Anyway, what sort of a deal was it? What were we offered?
A chance to serve the party. People have died for that.
The world has changed. Just now, I don't fancy dying for anything or anyone.
Of course not.
Do you realize they still kill people?
Are you sure they didn't say that about Paul Bouleau just to frighten you?
Yes. And then they thought they'd gone too far, so now they're trying to unfrighten me. God, how they like to play with people's lives, with their secrets and treachery and blackmail. And what's special about Lodge? There are lodgers in every country. Lodgers and Webb Austins
and... And Channons.
You could hate me.
Why, Joseph?
For 25 years of unmarriage, unlove, untrust.
There was nothing about that in the contract.
Not even kids.
That wasn't your fault.
The perfect partner for an existence of almost total unreality.
We have had some good times.
And the Perrys are coming for Bridge.
I just wanted to talk away from that office.
You really think it's bugged?
Maybe, maybe not. Why take the risk?
It doesn't make life very easy.
No. I don't like being that careful, not with you. And I'm not going to be driven paranoid, not by them. Well, not yet.
Joe, you know you can come to me anytime.
I suppose the flat is safe.
Hey, if I'm bugged, they'll get an earful.
We've got to see.
Look out! Joe, for heaven's sake!
Sorry.
Let's stop here under the trees. You're pretty tense.
Yes.
Don't scare me like that again.
Sorry. Last night was pretty rough.
What? The guests?
And everything.
Boring?
I don't know, I was drunk.
Very boring.
For them. For me, well, you can be a lot of things when you're being squeezed like a lemon, but not exactly bored.
And now hungover.
Yes.
I've got some aspirin,
something. No, don't bother. Listen, we've got to do something.
Mr. Lodge?
They can wait a bit, they're not stupid. But sooner or later they'll want stuff on Omicron. As soon as I begin to get familiar with the latest theory on the work... And that won't take long, they know.
Joe, you've got to decide now. Not tear yourself apart.
There's no way out. As soon as I give them what they want, what they really want, I'm finished. They can do exactly what they like with me. All my work and a lot of other people's too belongs to them, then. If I put a foot wrong, they can blow my career. Even now they could do that.
Oh, they wouldn't dare. You're much too valuable. Joe, they've got to give you a hell of a lot of rope.
I don't want to be at the end of any rope.
But you always have been.
Yes.
They have to take care of you, Joe.
I don't want it. I don't want any of it.
Stay strong, darling. For me.
I would do anything for you.
Do what you have to do. Do it. I'll be with you. When it's over, well, go away.
It will never be over. And there will be nowhere to go. In any case.
What?
Who are you, darling? An English girl. Born and bred here. One of the lucky ones. England's been pretty good to you, hasn't it? It would be crazy not to love this country. Your country.
I love you, Joe.
What am I getting you into? Don't you realize if anyone found out about us, you could be dragged into this whole dirty thing?
I mean it now, with you.
And you don't care about anything else?
No.
Well, I do. Maybe it takes a refugee, even a pseudo-refugee, to appreciate this mad, wet, careless land with its uncomfortable pubs and beautiful, old, empty churches and bewildered policemen and novel ideas about work and football and its democratic chaos.
Daft.
British patriotism. Not to be verbalized.
I think even I could make a better job of it.
But you wouldn't.
No, thanks.
Leave it to the like of me.
I told you, you're as English as I am.
I'm more glad.
I really think you are.
You're not knocking it. You feel something inside that magnificent chest of yours.
I do love you, Joe. I would do anything to help you. Don't be bitter.
I'm only trying to say that it isn't only my wretched little career.
You've got every right to be proud of that.
Where's it leading? Work on an enormously dangerous weapon and then handing it over to the other power. A supreme act of treachery. Listen, I may have been a stupid young idealist once, but I promise you in my wildest dreams I never visualized anything like this.
If Omicron is so dangerous, well, isn't it better if it's shared? Safer?
Safer? Are you mad? There's a whole nuclear war game being played out there in space. Omicron can muck up the other side's board. The temptation will be irresistible.
To use it?
Of course.
If you don't do it, somebody else will, eventually.
Perhaps. But then, perhaps the game will be safer. And in any way, what an argument.
I want you safe. I do, Joe.
We'd better get back.
You see, your good husband is very dangerous to let.
And I never knew.
A little automatic, but we'll loosen him up. Yes, that's a safe too. Terrific.
But it only makes 8 altogether.
Well, what's the matter with 8? He's on his way, he is. Ah, they've got him.
He's on his way, back here.
Well done. Bad luck.
Oh, dear.
Jolly good.
George, don't be ridiculous. I couldn't hit a thing.
That's more or less how it looked to me.
Rubbish. He just needs a little more flex.
Is that it?
Now, come on. Let's hit the side up. Maria?
Oh, thank you, George. That would be very nice.
I'll give you a hand.
Oh, thanks. Don't move, Maria. We'll cope.
George, do you mind? I think I'll push off.
Huh? What's up?
I've got a bit of a headache.
Well, don't touch the apple juice.
Look, if I take the car, could you possibly give Maria a lift home?
Yes, of course.
Make her stay, huh? She's enjoying herself.
Sure.
Thanks. See you.
Two halves, please, Walter.
Soda? Yes, sir.
Hello, George.
Claire. How are you, my lovely?
Who's that for?
Maria Challen.
Where's Joseph?
Gone home. Bit of a headache.
Oh, sorry.
But grab yourself a drink and come over. Now, you know Maria, don't you?
No, as a matter of fact, we've never...
Oh, good Lord. High time. Come on. I'll introduce you.
Hello. I wonder if you can help me. This is Houghton 239. Yes, and I'm the subscriber on this line. My name is Channon. Yes, Joseph Channon. Now, look, I called this number myself several times yesterday afternoon, but it was engaged. I very much want to know what calls were made. I mean, to where?
At what time?
Well, between 3 and 4 o'clock.
3 and 4?
Yes. Can you do that for me?
Well, not for direct dial calls.
Yes, I was afraid of that.
But if the calls were made through the operator, then...
Yes, yes. If there were any calls through the operator, I'd still like to know. Will you call me back as soon as possible?
Yes, of course.
Thanks. Goodbye.
That's a 6.
Is it?
Yes, of course it is. Tempora, we can draw stumps. What a massacre.
Hardly.
Hurry up. Now, it occurs to me that you do not appreciate the finer points of this game. Block 8 wins on style alone.
And draft cider.
Come on, ladies, I'll top you up before the scrum begins. Glasses, please.
No, thanks, George, really.
Impossible.
Oh, well, don't mind if I...
Oh, go ahead. You deserve it.
Thank you.
I've wanted to meet you for quite a while, Claire. You and Joseph working together. You must come and see the house.
Oh, I'd love to.
We've got a much better garden here than we had at Oddingley. It keeps me busy at this time of the year.
I'm afraid I've only got a flat.
I was told you were having an affair with my husband.
Who by?
Major Webb Austin.
Why on earth should he tell you a thing like that?
Apparently it's rather frowned on here, officially. Something to do with security.
Mrs. Channon, you haven't spoken to Joseph.
You know that.
Hello again. Well, well... Jolly good luck to us all. Now, Omicron. As you know, this is potentially the most important strategic weapon since the hydrogen bomb.
Major Webb Austin has been down at Harton and is here to update us. Carry on.
I've seen Joseph Chernick, now Channon. According to Professor MacDonald, Channon is regarded as the country's leading materials physicist with a special interest in radiation techniques. The Omicron team at Harton consider him essential to the project. Channon has been an agent in deep cover since coming west in 1956. When it was known he was going to Harton, the decision was taken to activate him. Of course, to use a sleeper after so many years is very dangerous, but Channon is in a unique position, and the stakes are very high. Channon's contact at the moment is a man called Lodge, who is very experienced in dealing with psychological problems of illegals. Channon's wife is an unknown quantity. Yeah. She was employed by the state security as a swallow in 1954-55. As things develop, I think we shall have to consider very carefully, A, the possibility of Channon being turned around, and B, action to be taken if he breaks cover. It seems to me that neither side can afford to let him go.
He may have to be persuaded to jump off a train.
Well, of course, that wouldn't be my decision.
Of course not. Not the wet stuff, Major.
I'm sorry, darling.
No, I'm glad you told me. Webb Austin. So that's why he wanted to meet Mario. How the hell did he find out?
I suppose it's his job.
I didn't know we'd been that careless, but why? What's the game?
He must want to break it up.
Me and Mario, why?
No, us.
He can't, can he?
Oh, no.
Because if he could, if he did, there would be nothing left for me. Do you realize that?
Joe, don't think about it.
I suppose it's silly. I've always had the feeling that British intelligence wouldn't play dirty.
It's a war, isn't it?
Until I shook the Major's clammy hand. They destroy me, both sides, like Paul Bull, only slowly. They'll use anything. Lodge, Webb, Austin, Mario, you.
They can never use me.
No. Compared to Webb Austin, I'm beginning to find the idea of Mr. Lodge not quite so uncongenial after all.
Good evening, Dr. Channon.
Hello, Mr. Lodge. I'm glad you're here. I'm afraid I don't have anything for your letterbox.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Unless you'd like to forward a letter to my mother.
We're not trying to be funny.
Not at all. As a matter of fact, I'm in rather a difficulty at the moment.
Yes?
You see, there's a young lady at the establishment, my assistant, in fact.
Claire Graham.
Oh, you know her?
Her name.
Well, we've been going out together.
I see.
And the security people have found out.
I'm listening.
I don't think they like it.
Possibly.
They've told my wife.
Sort it out.
Yes, it's all very fine to say that, but after all, it's rather a severe personal problem, and I find a strain of it on top of this other business.
This other business is all that matters. Do you want me to see your wife?
No, I don't think that would help.
The next time I see you, Dr. Channon, that's next Tuesday evening, here, I want some information in writing. You could let me down, but it would be very, very stupid. Off you go.
Mr. Lodge, you don't seem to get the point. I'm not making any progress at Omicron. My colleagues in Block 8 are not cooperating, obviously, on instructions. Somebody's having second thoughts about Dr. Channon and his difficulties.
I don't believe you.
You don't have to, any more than I have to like your manners.
Be here on Tuesday. I'll have some instructions.
Oh, yes, I'm sure you will.
Take back what I said about him.
Lodge?
Mm-hmm. Gives me the creeps.
Does he believe you?
No, but it hardly matters.
For God's sake, Joe, please be careful.
It's the only way. Make them realize they're dealing with an ordinary, erratic, emotional human being.
You're not erratic and emotional.
Oh, yes. Now, and getting worse.
Joe, you're drinking too much.
Well, that's another problem for them.
It's too dangerous. You said so yourself. This game, you call it, it's not a game.
Oh, yes. And one must be fair to both sides. I am going to see Webb Austin.
Webb Austin?
Uh-huh.
Well, he's not here.
He's coming, specially.
For heaven's sake, why?
He seems to know so much. I thought I might ask him why my wife is making telephone calls to a certain city beyond the eastern frontier. For one thing.
Well, you made it seem very urgent, so of course I came down. What's up?
I've been considering very carefully the whole question of the Omicron project. Academically, of course, it's very fascinating, and it's a great privilege to work with people like Brohill and McDonald. In fact, I can see myself integrating very happily, very successfully.
I'm sure.
But I can't do it. Now, I'm not a soldier, Major. I don't have that outlook. Oh, it's not a question of loyalty. I'm very fond of this country. I know you were quite satisfied about that. But you see, Omicron is not just a tool, a weapon. It could be an extraordinary event. I suppose only a scientist can understand the full implications. I don't want to cast any aspersions on my professional colleagues. I have far too much respect for them. It's just that, as far as I'm concerned, I think I would rather continue my work somewhere else.
Have you spoken to Professor McDonald?
Not yet.
Why me first?
Because, well, it all started with you, didn't it? And it's not really a scientific question. It's to do with the defense of this country and my position here. In any case, something tells me that you and your friends really control the Omicron project. And many others, perhaps?
Let me get this straight. You know that you are badly needed to make Omicron a success.
Perhaps.
But you feel on what? Some kind of moral grounds that you want to opt out?
I'm sorry.
I see. You're quite serious about this, Dr. Challen.
Yes, I thought about it very carefully.
Because it wasn't what you told Mr. Lodge, was it? You don't look very well. Would you like a glass of water?
Who are you?
There are no easy ways out, Channon. I got you put here, and you'll stay here and do as you're told. Yes, there are more people watching you than you imagined. Omicron is the biggest thing we've ever handled, and it's not going to slip through our fingers just because some wet little scientist thinks he can outsmart his own intelligence service. So you stick to Block 8, give Lodge what he wants when he wants it. He's got some nasty people in his section, and they could give you a bad time. Don't forget, we've got your mother too, even if you don't care about your wife. If you try to break cover, we'll bury you. If there's any other help I can give you, don't hesitate to get in touch, will you?
Darling.
Pack. Pack some things. The car's outside. It'll be dark soon.
For heaven's sake, come in.
I saw Webb Austin this evening.
I know. You said he was coming
here. He knows everything. Everything.
Oh, God, what a fool I've been.
Joe.
They're not going to get me. I'm not climbing on any trains. We're going the night through the valley, and tomorrow we'll be by ourselves.
Oh.
Thank you.
I'm not going anywhere until you tell me what's happened.
I have. Webb Austin knows I'm supposed to be working for the other side.
Then he's got to protect you.
From whom? He's working for them, too.
What?
No wonder they knew I was going to join Omicron. Webb Austin helped to bring me here. He even arranged my top security clearance.
I can't believe Webb Austin. He's so...
English? God. British intelligence. Fancy letting him through the net.
Omicron, it's like some great meaty prize and all the rats converging.
Well, I'm getting out. Please, come with me.
But, Joe, where?
I know what you're thinking, that we can never escape. Well, what can I do? Go to British intelligence, wherever the hell those fools are in the circus, and what do I say to them? Hm? Please, sir, I'm on your side, of course. The only snag is I've been an enemy agent. Not for long, of course, only 25 years or so. So, please, can I keep my job and no hard feelings?
See what you mean.
That's called breaking cover, and it's not a very soft option. You should have seen Webb Austin. The next thing I'd know would be a very sharp umbrella jabbing in the cyanide, and I have a horrible feeling I just about deserve it.
Don't be silly.
All I know is I can't stay here. Not another minute. And I need you so badly.
Maria?
She's at the parish council meeting. I've left her a letter. Look, darling, I know it's a lot to ask you. You're not involved in all this.
I'm involved with you, Joe.
Mario knows that, of course, and that bastard Major.
So where are you going?
In Venice.
In Venice, tonight?
No, but we must get away in the dark. There's a lake by Ben Alder and a trout stream. Cottage, Mrs. Murray. Only 500 miles.
to the other side of the world.
Joe, you can't hide forever, not even in the Grampians.
I think I could try with you.
All right.
The car's outside. Full up. Yes.
Baron.
What's the matter, Baron?
Shanna's split, going on.
And Miss Graham?
Yes, she's with him.
I see.
Well, should we go after him?
Well, you can't find him easily. He's got a Playboy car.
I'm on Amesford, 598.
All right. Stay in touch. Don't use this number again. I'll give you another.
What's the time?
About 1:10.
We could make Carlisle for breakfast. Or Penrith, that's not so obvious.
You don't really think we're going to be followed up there?
For the rest of my life, I'm not taking anything for granted. Anything.
You take me for granted?
Yes, a rag, a bone, and a hank of hair. You're all that's left.
Dear Joe, it's like a honeymoon.
I wonder how long.
You're right. You need a decent rest. Use that brain of yours to get us out of this.
Ah, the brain. Bit of a disaster from the beginning.
Why?
If it hadn't been for my academic record, I wouldn't have been recruited in the first place. If I hadn't shot up the scientific ladder in this country, I'd have been nicely and quietly and comfortably forgotten.
You've a lot to be proud of, Joe.
Oh, yes. Now a real fizzer. Just imagine, kids, a fabulous death ray to shoot up 100 miles and smash all the pretty toys.
You are what you are, and you didn't have to join any gangs.
I was cheap. I've always been cheap. Maybe I should ask Webb Austin for £1,000,000. He'd understand that.
Do you want me to drive?
Later, thanks. And keep your foot down.
Relax, darling.
That Zodiac's been behind us since rugby.
Oh, Joe, don't be ridiculous.
I'm not being ridiculous. The world is being ridiculous. That's why we're getting out.
Well, if you want to show me speed, why not get onto the M6?
I said, too obvious. Missing people, police.
This has really got you, hasn't it?
Good, the brain. The brain is cracking. With a bit of luck, it won't be any use to the crooks anymore.
I think you people had better leave him alone for a while.
Shut up and show me the letter. Nothing about where he's going. You know, Mrs. Shannon, something tells me your husband doesn't trust you very much.
Just give me back the letter.
Later. Needs study. See, we're not particularly bothered about his destination. We'll find that out soon enough. Personally, I'm interested in his state of mind. Perhaps you can help us, too, about that.
Mr. Lodge, I'm not prepared to discuss my husband's state of mind in the middle of the night.
Why not? You know, he's taken Miss Graham with him. His assistant.
He doesn't say that.
You silly cow. Couldn't you keep him at home for us? Answer it. Oh. If it's him keeping talking. You understand?
Hello?
Mrs. Chan?
Yes, speaking. Laszlo. Oh, that's wonderful. But we may be too late. No, don't come here yet. Wait till you hear from me.
Give me that phone. Oh. Hello? Who's that? Who's speaking? Okay. Now, who was that? Who the hell's last
love? A friend.
Oh? And he just rings you up at any time? I'm waiting. Do you want your arm broken?
Do that. And you've lost my husband for good. You see, I know a little more about him than you do. And we are not so weak as you imagine, Mr. Lodge. Neither he nor I.
Where are we?
Just coming into Lockerbie.
Scotland.
I thought we were going to have breakfast in Carlisle.
No, no. Terribly dangerous. Full of English cops looking for spies.
What's time?
8:20.
You can certainly drive.
Didn't want to wake you. You looked rather sweet. This looks promising.
What does?
The Crown Hotel. Okay.
Fine.
This'll be better. That was a lot of road.
Look, darling, now we've shaken off all the cars you said were following us.
Okay.
Why don't we ask for a room and have a decent rest?
What, Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
Don't be silly. You look terrible.
I'll get the bags.
Oh, no.
What is it?
My trouser rod, it's broken.
You really are in trouble.
That's what comes of packing in a hurry. Damn, my best split cane rod. They don't make them like that anymore.
Just as well.
It's not funny.
Come on.
Good idea of yours. Any more of that Scottish breakfast and I couldn't have driven anyway.
Feeling better?
Depends what you mean. I don't suppose a rat in a hole feels too good ever. But I think where we're going, I could get back some nerve.
Did you take Maria to the fishing lodge?
Yes.
What's the old biddy going to say?
Mrs. Murray, what about?
Me, you idiot.
Oh, a wicked man in a wicked girl.
Come here, then.
Darling, you want some sleep.
I want you more.
The one really precious thing to come out of this nightmare.
They're at an hotel just across the Scottish border.
The poor fool.
I think they'll be back shortly.
Can't you hurry it up?
Well, I'd rather not show our hand. We've got the future to consider.
Have you left things with Harton?
Well, Mrs. Channon has told them he's at home with a bad go of hay fever.
That'll only do for a couple of days.
It's all we need, I promise you.
Otherwise, Lodge and his people are to fetch him.
It won't be necessary.
I hope not. We don't want any more tantrums.
Hello, darling. Couldn't you sleep?
Don't worry. I slept all right. How are you feeling?
Okay.
Good.
What's the time?
Tea time.
Tea time?
Yes, I've sent for some.
We'd better get going. We don't want another night drive.
Oh, Joe, well, there's no hurry, is there? Why don't we stay? We could go on tomorrow if you feel like it.
Of course I feel like it. Come on, darling, we can't hang about here.
Look, nobody could possibly know where we are. You can send another wire to Mrs. Murray.
No, I'd rather get on. I really would.
Anyway, let's have tea.
If it's anything like breakfast, we don't need anything else.
The main thing is you got away and had a bit of a rest.
I won't rest properly until we get to the lake.
Loch.
Sorry.
Joe, what are we going to do then?
Catch some fish. With a new rod, I'll buy you one too. Everything will be new and clean. Just the lap of water, the wind in the reeds, trout rising, the heather fresh and scented after the rain.
And then?
I know, it can't last forever. But it's very healing. We can take possession of ourselves.
But sooner or later... Well, I mean, we can't just disappear.
I know it sounds stupid, but I'm not quite ready to be dragged back into reality.
I'm sorry. It's not fair on you.
It's not fair on you. I was thinking all the way last night, what the hell am I getting you into?
Now, we've settled all that.
You're very sweet.
But listen, darling, we don't need to go to the Highlands to think things out, do we? Well, I mean, well, we've got to go back sometime, and we ought to have some sort of plan.
Not now, please.
It's all very fine, but after 2 or 3 weeks in the heather... Well, I know you like to work, and I can see you getting tetchy, to say the least.
You make it sound like a picnic. I'm trying to sort out my life. I'm not going back to Harton, ever.
There's no way out, Joe. Sooner or later, they'll find you, won't they?
Perhaps.
Well, even if they don't, well, you'll have to pick up the threads.
Can't you understand? I don't want to think about it. I'm getting away from all that until... until...
Until what? Until somebody comes after you with a gun? Joe, if you go back now, you can do some deal with those men. After all, the British security people don't know anything about it, so you don't have to fight both sides.
You have been thinking, haven't you?
If you go back calmly, in a reasonable state of mind, they won't get uptight and try to harm you. Why should they? You're far too important to them. You're the only person they've got to give them hard information on the Omicron project.
They're not getting it from me.
Joe, if you won't play, they'll do something to your mother. And if you start to talk, you'll be too dangerous to leave alive.
I'm not stupid. I've tortured myself enough with all that. Leave it, darling, please. We'll go to the lodge for a while and then maybe travel a bit. I have plenty of money and you, bless your heart, leave the worrying to me.
I wish I could. I really do. You won't go back, will you?
I've told you.
Hello. Could you get me a number, please? 01-953-0603. Could you make it a personal call? I want to speak to a Major Webb Austin.
Claire.
Will you call me back? Thank you.
Not you.
I'm sorry, Joe. They couldn't give me any more time. We've got to get you back before the Omicron security team pull your file apart.
Claire, not you. God.
Morning, Joe. Feeling better?
Well, you don't look it.
Hello there, Joe. Joe. Hey, careful where you're going, man. They're laser testing.
Well, you should know what you're doing.
Like what?
You and me. Physical contact. Not in my brief, Major.
Shut up and listen.
Oh, beg your pardon.
You and Baron have really bitched things.
I don't think I understand.
Fancy leaving it all to the girl.
Channon.
What do you think?
Baron telephoned you. You called him off.
I don't remember that.
I see. You're in trouble. What's happened?
Channon came south. Alone. No surveillance. You do the surveillance, Lodge. You and Baron.
Mr. Baron's a particular friend of mine, Major.
Don't make too much of it.
Why?
There's the question of your skin.
Fancy.
I've just heard from Block 8. Channon's been in.
Good, I'll tell Baron.
You'll tell him nothing. And look out for yourself.
Oh?
Because you were supposed to monitor Channon's psychological state.
Up to a point.
Up to what point, Lodge? Channon's blown the whole thing. We're about to lose a Omicron.
Bad luck.
What do you mean, bad luck?
You're pigeon, Omicron. Channon, now, I did what I was told.
Huh. Tell London.
Oh, I'll leave that to you, sir. You're head of group. Or were.
Then you won't be interested in some rather unpleasant news from Budapest, which means that your assessment of the Channon couple is now under a heap of manure.
You know something? You don't look so pretty when you're frightened.
Lodge.
And I don't really want to know what sort of disaster you've created, Major. By the way, you're wriggling. I've got an idea that you won't be around much longer.
I can put you out of action first, you bloody...
No, Major. I'm a survivor. I'll tell Baron you thought we could spend him. A keep away, he's got a nasty temper. He was breaking thumbs when you were still in nappies.
Lodge, you can help me.
I don't decide about termination. Was that what you were thinking?
Houghton 357.
Miss Graham.
Yes?
I'm speaking from London Control. There's been a sudden hitch in the Channon case.
Oh.
You are not to blame. You were defective.
Thank you.
Clear your station and report to London.
Yes.
You have a new assignment abroad.
Shall I check out with head of group here?
No, he is non-operative. Is that clear?
Yes.
And, of course, the Channon alone. All right.
Yes. Quite all right.
Joseph, oh my God, you look terrible.
Sorry about that.
Laszlo, it's Joseph. Come and help me.
Laszlo?
Joseph!
Laszlo Kosicki.
Don't you recognize me?
Oh, help him in. Come and sit down. Oh, heavens, I thought I'd never see you again. Oh, Joseph.
Maria, Laszlo...
He's been to Budapest, Joseph, and he's done it. Yes. Right under the noses of those people, he did it and got out safe. You are free of them, Joseph. We both are.
Free, but what has Laszlo...
I told you it helped us, but it had to be a secret. It was so dangerous for Laszlo, and you were... You told me not to trust you. But now, Joseph, now you will trust me.
Maria...
Please, God, I have proved myself to you. Look, Joseph. Look who's here. Joseph, don't you recognize your own mother? Joseph.
Mother?
You cannot see me, son.
No, mother. Some people wished to use me, to use my brain and my eyes. There was no respect for these things which you gave me, and no love. There is a kind of light more terrible than the sun. I know it well because I helped to make it. I have looked at this furious light, and it has become my friend, because it has taken away my eyes. And no one who does not love me will want me anymore. Do you understand?
Yes, Joseph. And I.
You too.
I too.
In The Sleeper and the Swallow by John Ash, the part of Joseph was played by Shandor Ellis, Maria by Elizabeth Bell, and Claire by Karen Ford. Michael Cochran played George, John Abineri, Webb Austin and Bulo, Roger Snowden, Lodge and Strauss, and Brian Haynes, Blank and Lashlo. Sally Leahy played the part of mother, and Geoffrey Searle, the radio announcer. The play was directed in Bristol by Sean McLaughlin.